Hey guys, real quick before we get started, we are doing a free giveaway for listeners between now and May 31st. Cash prizes, free swag, yacht meetup tickets, San Diego Padre tickets, and more. All you got to do to qualify is go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and drop a 5-star review. Send a screenshot to giveaway@summerscapital.com and we'll be selecting lucky winners May 31st. As always, I appreciate the support. Now let's jump into the show.
For me personally, I just want to provide these investment opportunities to the healthcare community because they don't even know they exist. And these are people that think that the only way to build wealth is to sacrifice their mental and physical health to pick up double time at the hospital. Like they don't know there's another way. And so being able to educate them about alternative investment strategies like real estate syndications has been really awesome.
Welcome to the Rich Summers Report, where we talk real estate, business, and wealth building, all while keeping it real. No fluff, no BS. I hope that you enjoy the show.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Report. Today, we got a big meetup tonight, another Beers and Deals meetup down here in downtown San Diego. And I got someone who I first connected with about 3 years ago on my old podcast, the Multifamily Takeoff, and connected virtually. And kind of crazy because when you walked in, I thought that we had met before. I'm like, is this the first time we met in person? Because it does not feel that way. But anyways, I got the net worth nurse. I got Savannah Arroyo. Savannah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah. Literally, when you walked in, I was like, we've met before.
First time.
Social media will do that to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
But so anyways, you came down from Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell you been up to these days?
Yeah. So just still working as a nurse part time, building a real estate portfolio and a startup company.
Nice. Yeah. Love that. Last time we spoke, you were investing into a multifamily deal up in Oregon, and I believe you sold that deal, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Our first full cycle deal.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those are good wins. And so now you're investing into, you're going to be doing a whole new startup. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I've been a nurse 10 years. Really started my career in leadership and administration, started climbing that corporate ladder, really wanted to make a change in healthcare. And it was really beginning of 2020 after having my second daughter that my priorities really started to shift and started looking for alternative ways to build wealth, which led me to real estate investing. Been doing that for the last 4 years and still have such a big passion for the healthcare community and wanting to support healthcare, nurses, doctors. It was really when I was working as a nurse in the height of the pandemic that I was managing different procedural units, had to shut them down when elective cases were closed, and it opened my office door to hundreds of conversations for nurses, docs, techs, and about their money, their finances. And it was really heartbreaking to see people who could literally save lives yet living paycheck to paycheck because they didn't know what to do with their money or how to invest. And so really realized there was a huge gap in financial literacy resources available, especially to healthcare professionals. And so set out on a mission to change that with my company, Invest Health. It is a financial health benefit.
I love that. What is it like working in a hospital during COVID? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, especially at the beginning, every day coming in, there was different changes. I mean, we weren't wearing masks at first, and then we were required to wear masks, but there weren't enough to go around. And a lot of things opening and shutting down, especially with staff laying them off, not knowing if they were going to get subsidized by the government at the time. So it led to, a lot of really open conversations with people in the healthcare system and really forced me to reflect on what I wanted to do with my life. And I was very committed to my role in the hospital and was climbing the corporate ladder. I wanted to become a chief nursing officer and really make a difference. And I saw that I could make a difference even more by going out on an entrepreneurship journey and building a startup.
Yeah. What division with your hospital were you working in?
Oh, I've worked in all sorts of specialties.
All of them?
Yeah. So I started med-surg oncology. I worked in telemetry. I've done pre-op and PACU. Then I went into leadership. I got my master's degree in nursing leadership and administration. And so started working in procedural units. So I helped manage a cath lab, special procedures and GI lab, and orthopedics.
Wow. I've always had a lot of respect for nurses because y'all like are always on your feet. long shifts. A lot of the shifts are some of them are 12 hours. And I know a lot of you guys work a ton of overtime. So I always had a lot of respect for nurses. And so, you know, shout out to all the nurses out there. Are you still working as a nurse?
So I am working okay. part-time. I did leave
part-time.
Yes.
What does that mean as a nurse?
2 days a week.
Two days a week.
Not bad.
Okay.
Yes.
Two 12-hour shifts?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Usually hit the weekend shifts. But I went per diem. And then with our real estate company, my husband moved out of his full-time job last year. And so to hold benefits for the family, nursing is so flexible and easy to do that. I only have to show up 2 days a week and they provide my whole family benefits. And so it's really easy to keep on at the hospital.
So I always thought, like, you know, obviously talk about job security in the nursing field. You guys have a ton of job security. Myself included, I had a kind of a similar background. I was a federal employee for the FAA as an air traffic controller, which you get a lot of job security. And so when I left to go full time in real estate, a lot of folks told me it was too risky. But one thing I found investing in real estate now is a lot of my investors are my old coworkers that are air traffic controllers, because I already kind of had that trust and that relationship built out. And I think when you do like early deals and your first, you know, capital raiser too, you know, the folks that invest in your early deals tend to be people that already know, like, and trust you. So friends, family, colleagues, coworkers. Do a lot of those folks that you work with invest in your deals?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really, I mean, that exact mindset and thought process is what led me to start my personal brand, Net Worth Nurse, was me going out and doing these real estate deals and wanting to raise capital, wanting to do it in the most genuine way possible with my community. And that built-in trust with healthcare professionals is already there because I am a nurse. And for me personally, I just want to provide these investment opportunities to the healthcare community because they don't even know they exist. And these are people that think that the only way to build wealth is to sacrifice their mental and physical health to pick up double time at the hospital. Like, they don't know there's another way. And so being able to educate them about alternative investment strategies like real estate syndications has been really awesome.
Yeah. One of my ex-girlfriends I dated, this is probably 12 years ago, maybe longer, but she was an RN, and then her sister was an RN, and her mom was an RN. But her mom literally worked, nicest lady ever, but she literally worked, like, I want to say six, even maybe even 7 days a week if they allow you to, but she was always working. And that's all she did for like 45 years. And I think she's finally like just retiring, but she's like older now, you know, and that's all she did. And she just, I think she just put her money into savings accounts, retirement accounts, and that sort of thing. But I don't think she ever got into investing in a real estate or alternative asset classes. So I can see where you're coming from. And I can imagine there's a lot of other folks in the industry that kind of have that same mindset.
Yeah, definitely. Know?
So you did the multifamily deal up in Oregon. Mm-hmm. What else have you been investing in since?
Yeah, really. I mean, real estate, all in on real estate investing. So just closed on another 28 unit up on the Oregon coast. We're looking for strong value add deals. So anything that we can kind of flip in a 3 to 5 year period, and looking for those type of returns and deals for our investors.
Yeah. Which market did you close on that deal in?
That's on the Oregon coast up in Reedsport.
Reedsport.
Yeah.
Okay. And the first deal you did, what part of Oregon was that?
That it's actually in the same exact city,
same
yep, as our first deal.
Uh-huh. So you sold one and bought another one.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How'd you guys do on that first one?
Great. So ended up that it was originally going to be a 6-year hold for our investors, but because of inflation over the last 3 years, we've been able to reach our year 5 market rents at around year 3. And so we were able to exit the deal early for our investors. We earn them 25% average annualized returns, which they're happy about because, I mean, the only thing they know, the stock market, which does around 6-7%. So great way for them to grow their money.
And as a general partner or a syndicator, like for any of the listeners out there that are curious or considering doing it, you know, a lot of the money is made on the back end. You know, you have a preferred return and investors get paid first. And so, you know, if there is an exit, that's typically where the operators will get a lot of their funds. Obviously, the limited partners get they get taken care of as well, which is nice. So it's usually a win-win situation. But depending on how these syndications are set up, I know ours, our fund, for example, our investors get paid first every single year. And so, you know, we're not seeing a ton of money until we exit these deals. So for us, we're thinking long-term, right? So with our fund, we started it just over a year ago. And at the time, we were in a high interest rate environment. We still are, but there was a lot of volatility and bad news in the marketplace. And so I didn't know where the economy was going to go over the next 2 to 3 years. And so I thought, you know what, rather than doing a shorter time horizon, I wanted to kind of have a longer time horizon. So I thought, let's do a 10-year hold period projected. The goal is to get it done sooner. But this way we have a little bit more runway should the market, you know, continue to soften before it improves. And I feel like if we do have a 10-year horizon, there's going to be an opportune time in that 10-year period to where we have an opportune time to exit. And so that's kind of my thought process going in. Now, with all the news that I'm seeing, I mean, things are shifting so quickly. I would be okay doing something closer to like a 5 to 7 year hold now. But at the time, that was kind of my rationale, if you would. So we're thinking long term, right? If we're not going to get paid out until, you know, potentially 10 years, it is a long term thing. So I think a lot of people think, oh, like as an operator, a GP, you're going to make a ton of money on the front end. You make a little bit, but a lot of that money is in the back end.
Yeah. Real estate is not a get rich quick scheme at all. I mean, we do structure our deals with the acquisition fee. So that is kind of, it does make it worth it to find the deal and get rewarded for all the work that it takes to find it, get the financing for it, raise the capital for it, and close on it. So it is kind of, yeah, on front end and back end.
Totally. Acquisition fees are nice. And, you know, I think it's definitely well-deserved, right? Because you think about all the time that it takes to go source the deals, get them debted up, get the lending, raise all the capital, get them to the finish line. It's not just that one deal. Like, how many deals did you underwrite and pass on? And like all the time it took you to go visit all these different properties and do your due diligence before you finally find the right one. So it's definitely well-deserved. And then you're the one signing on the loan, you're guaranteeing the note, you're taking all the risk. And so it's definitely well-deserved. However, I will say, you know, at least for us, we never want to be in a position to where we have to buy because of the acquisition fees to survive, you know? And I think you saw a lot of that in like, you know, at least when I was first getting into apartment investing, you saw a lot of operators that were buying a lot of stuff because they were living off of the acquisition fees. So it's interesting to see. Are you guys seeing, when did you exit the Oregon deal, by the way?
December 2023.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was after the interest rates had already gone up. So this is pretty recent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And you guys still had a nice exit, even with the higher rates. That's it's even more impressive.
Uh-huh. Value add deals will do that when you can force appreciation into real estate as an operator. It gives you a lot more control over the investment.
I love it. So did you guys have this next deal lined up when you sold the other one?
We didn't necessarily have it lined up, but we have six apartment complexes up in Oregon, and we've gotten every single deal from the same broker. So relationships in real estate investing are so, so important. And he just really understands our deal criteria, what we're looking for. We really go for these strong value add deals. They are in tertiary markets, but where home ownership rates like 30%, meaning that the majority of the people that live there have to rent. And I mean, as you know, inventory across the country is at an all-time low. And so it gives us a lot of opportunity as operators to maintain very low vacancy rates. I mean, on all of our buildings up in Oregon, we're seeing less than 5% vacancy rates just because there's such a high demand. And then because of inflation over the last 3 years, we've just been really able to push the rents.
As a busy real estate investor or entrepreneur, time is money and first impression is everything. Every day to make it easy on myself, I wear Built Basics clothing. Whether you're a girl or guy looking for workout gear, joggers, shirts, button-downs, hats, or shoes, Built's got you covered. Super comfortable, tight in all the right places to make you look fresh and clean all the time. Visit BuiltBasics.com and use promo code SUMMERS20 to receive 20% off of your order. Again, that's BuiltBasics.com. That's BuiltBasics.com. Use promo code SUMMERS20 to receive 20% off of your order. Now back to the show. What is your search criteria? So you mentioned your broker knows your search criteria. What is it?
Yeah. So we go for, I mean, the tertiary markets, mid-sized buildings, anywhere between like 20 to 50 units, very strong value add. The last deal we just closed on, rents were 40% below market. So just a lot of opportunity to come in there and raise them. I mean, we're buying buildings that have been owned in the same family for generations, or they're owned by someone who doesn't have the operating reserves to maintain turns and the renovations. I mean, when the roof goes out, they don't have the funds to take care of it. And that's where the opportunity lies for us as operators. We raise that capital. We also contribute to all of our deals and go in there and add the value.
Yeah, I love that. I'm sure you noticed this, but at least for me, I've noticed like it's a lot easier to get lending. It's a lot easier to raise money, even though today versus my early deals, just because of the track record and the experience. Yeah. But I will say today's environment, it's not easier to raise money than it was 3 or 4 years ago. And lending is a little bit tighter than it was 3 or 4 years ago. But that said, just because of the track record and experience, it's become easier. And I can imagine same thing for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The lending piece was very difficult early on, especially not having the experience. Some of our first deals, we had to bring on KPs, key principals, which are people to sign on the loan for you and just kind of give you that extra credit going out there when you're getting large financing on these deals. And then we got seller financing on our last deal. So we kind of got around that. And then,
they financed the whole thing?
They did.
Or they came in second?
Nope. They came and financed the whole thing. And then also even dealing with agency debt, we've gotten 2 agency loans in our last 6 deals. And that was a very eye-opening experience to the scrutiny that these deals are under. But it gives us and our investors almost that extra layer of confidence going into the deals because they underwrite it to such a T. That it really lets you know you got a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also like you mentioned, bringing on key principals or loan guarantors. I had to do the same thing early on because, you know, a lot of these agency loans and actually a lot of bridge loans too, you know, they require you to have a net worth equal to or greater than the loan amount. So if you don't have it, you know, partner with someone that does. But now I'm like the sole guarantor on like some of these bigger notes. And I'm like, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I might have to brand myself the net worth air traffic controller.
Seriously.
after you. But I do love the brand and everything. I think it's a huge play on your network and that sort of thing. Tell me a little about the startup that you're looking at rolling out. Is this happening right now?
Yes, right now.
All right, tell me all about it.
I'm actually here in San Diego and I'm going to be meeting with a potential client tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, it really, like I mentioned, kind of just stemmed from having all those conversations with healthcare professionals and seeing the huge gap in financial literacy. And I mean, anyone really can relate of getting hired on to an employer and you get sent your 401k package and they get kind of slated into a bucket. And that's really all you're doing for investing and all your insight over money. And I mean, I can't tell you how many nurses I've talked to who have never set up a budget because they don't want to look at where their money is going every month. And just the whole goal with Invest Health, which is our financial wellness company, is to promote empowerment, engagement, confidence in money, encouraging people to take a proactive stance in their finances instead of a reactive stance. I mean, for me, early on in my investing career, like what led me to start investing in real estate is I felt like such a victim of money. I felt like I didn't have a choice. I had to go and work my job because I had to collect that paycheck. And it just felt so limiting. And now shifting my mindset and using money more as a tool, I mean, ways to hack credit card debt. I mean, credit, you can fall victim to credit cards or you can use it as a tool to grow wealth. So there's 2 sides to every coin. And so really just promoting and providing the literacy resources for healthcare professionals is what we're doing with it.
Yeah, that's really good. So tell me more about like the education process. This is more than just an investment vehicle for them. This is going to be like what, like budgets and
yeah.
What else?
So it's an entire platform. So we're integrating into healthcare companies as a benefit feature. So on our platform, first and foremost, everyone who signs up gets a financial plan. So over 73% of Americans don't have a financial plan, which is just shocking.
That's insane.
How can you even begin to have ownership and control over your financial future if you don't even have a plan in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of our users, as they sign on within 10 minutes of answering some questions, they get a fully personalized financial plan. It's about 70 pages. It tells them exactly where they're at and it goes a step further and provides actionable steps. So a lot of people, when they get slated to the retirement plans, it's just like, okay, do contribute this and this is where you'll end up, but they don't have actionable steps. People get the education but aren't knowing really what to do. And so our financial plan shows them what steps they can take to take more ownership and control over their financial future. So the financial plan is really like the main component of the product, but then it goes a step further. We have tons of literacy resources and we really meet our users wherever they're at, whether they like watching short form video clips or going through a self-paced course. We have modules, articles, so a whole database of literacy resources and it all sorts of topics. income, expenses, retirement, student loans, credit, how to buy a house, all sorts of things like that, wealth building, even a step further of like retirement and that type of stuff. And then we have access to financial coaches and direct messaging. So for people, I mean, there's a lot of stigma and taboo around money, almost embarrassment. People feel embarrassed to ask their questions. So we have our users, they can ask their questions behind a screen, direct message, and get their answers very quickly. Or they can book a call with a financial coach and get face-to-face with someone and kind of go through their financial goals. And then in addition to that, we have different providers and resources. So we really work with healthcare companies to promote and engage other benefits that they're offering to their employees. Unfortunately, EAPs, employee assistant programs, their utilization is less than 30%. Like they're just not getting used. And so we really work with these companies to promote use of all their other programs and offerings that they have.
Wow. It's a very impressive platform that you got going on. It's almost a little taste of some Dave Ramsey as well, right?
Dave, he is a competitor. So his product, Smart Dollar, is a B2B financial health benefit platform. He's in companies like U-Haul and Costco as well. So very similar.
Yeah, I love that. And then with Dave, I actually just heard a whole hour long conversation on Dave this morning when I was at the gym. It was a podcast episode with Alex Hormozi interviewing Dave. And it was good. They didn't talk about debt. It was really geared around Dave's business and how it's evolved over the years. But it was really intriguing. But he was saying how they have partners in these different markets. And so like if you're looking to buy real estate in Houston, they have like preferred real estate agents that they suggest and like financial planners and all that sort of stuff. So it was interesting to kind of hear that. I do have a question for you. So I'd imagine a lot of nurses take on student loans to get their education. Mm-hmm. What is your thought process on student loans as like a nurse, for example? Would you say pay off your student loans or would you say invest in a real estate and then use that money to pay off the student loans?
Yeah, I get that question all the time, especially physicians too. Their student loan debt is astronomical. And most of them, I mean, there's different ways that you obviously want to consolidate and there's different tools and tips and tricks where you can work to pay off these student loans. But investing at the same time is something that I highly recommend. I mean, especially if you're investing in the right vehicles, there's ways that you could earn enough money to start paying off the student loans and be growing wealth at the same time.
What's the average student loan that you typically see with nurses?
For nurses, their average student loan is around $60,000.
60?
For docs, it's around like $200,000.
$200,000? Mm-hmm. Wow. What's the highest student loan balance you've ever heard of?
Probably for physicians around 250 or so.
250? Wow.
Yeah.
And what's a typical interest rate for a student loan balance like that?
I've seen anywhere between like 4.5% to even up to 9%.
So you're saying don't pay it off, pay the minimum, go invest into some real estate, and then use either the cash flow or maybe the appreciation to pay it off?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's risk tolerance is so different. So it's very individualized between, I mean, people's investing goals and their wealth building goals and what they want to do with it. But I mean, for those that do really want to go out there and start investing and growing wealth, I think it's wise to do both at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're only paying 4-5% on your student loans, you know, investing in real estate, you know, on average, you're gonna do a lot more than that. You know, you could do 15-20 easily. So you can pocket on that spread or on the delta. I have a buddy that had, he's a physical therapist. And he asked me like 3 years ago, he was thinking about buying some real estate. And he had never really owned any real estate before. And he had a good chunk of student loans from his schooling. And he asked me what he should do. And I told him, I was like, dude, buy the real estate and you know, use the appreciation to pay it off. And so those things went up in value like really quickly. This is like, I want to say 2020, 2021. And he did a refi. I remember he hit me up. He's like, dude, I did a cash out refi. And he's like, I paid off my student loans in one swoop. He's like, this is the best thing I ever did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's the quickest way to do it. I would probably suggest the same thing. But right now it's tough with the rate environment. The rates are so high.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, healthcare professionals, they just really lack the education for real estate investing. And so, a lot of them are working such demanding jobs that they don't necessarily have the time to commit to learning how to do it. I mean, the ones that are proactive definitely can move mountains if they start investing in real estate, for sure. But then the syndications offer an amazing opportunity for them to invest passively and still earn amazing returns.
That's too a good point, too. And then the other part about it is this, is if you wait to pay off your student loans before you start investing in real estate, well, how many years is it going to take you before you start investing in real estate? So if it takes you 10 or 12 or even 15 years to pay off those student loans, the opportunity cost of not buying real estate for 15 years could cost you millions, literally could cost you millions. And, you know, so if you're waiting to pay off a $200,000 student loan balance and the opportunity cost is millions in real estate or net worth, I mean, the trade-off to me is easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? You mentioned 70% or so of Americans do not have a financial plan in place.
Yeah.
What are a couple strategies for someone that doesn't have a financial plan in place to kind of get their ball rolling and start rolling with some sort of momentum?
Yeah, I mean, so there are, I mean, now with tech, there's so many places that you can go online and get financial plans, I mean, really for free. There's upsells and you can pay more to get one that's a little bit more comprehensive, but really depending on what type of expectation you have around the financial plan and what you're hoping to achieve by that. I mean, there's a lot of places that you can go online just and find some.
And you guys, you mentioned you guys have an app too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. You already rolled the app out?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
And then you also mentioned that you guys are, you're on platforms with different hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you get in with all these different hospitals?
Yeah. So our goal early on, it was deciding whether we were going to build a B2C product or B2B, either business to consumer or direct business to business. And for us, ultimately, we think it should be the healthcare company's responsibility to be providing this for healthcare professionals. And so that's why we went the B2B route. Also, I mean, economies of scale are way bigger in the B2B route. So our goal is, I mean, healthcare companies, hospitals, staffing agencies, medical schools, nursing schools, universities, and just it's a relationship game. So talking to those people, we go to a lot of healthcare related conferences and get face to face exposure, different marketing plays, too. We have a lot of relationships with a state association. So we're with 5 different nursing associations across the country and working on the enterprise level. But just talking about it, promoting awareness about it, either through social media or different relationships.
I love that. So tell me, how are you with this new business model? I'm curious, how are you guys making money?
So it is a subscription service. So okay, price per employee per month, which is how most benefits are structured.
Okay. So ballpark, what's the cost to an employee?
It can be anywhere. Well, the cost is to the employer. They're the one paying it. But it can be anywhere between $1 to $15 per employee per month.
Got it. And so you just got to scale it. Big volume.
Yeah.
I love it. And then what's like your marketing plan to kind of get out there and get this name out there?
So social media always, but a lot of conferences has been very valuable for us, like getting face to face with people. It just goes, the relationships go so much further when you can get face to face. So we've made it a huge point to start hopping around to healthcare conferences, podcast, connecting with people, intros. We have some cold outreach campaigns going on LinkedIn.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Tons of healthcare professionals hanging out on that social media platform. So really all our focus in regards of social media has been on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I agree with you about the in-person speaking and speaking events. So like whenever I go speak, you're able to touch people on a much deeper level.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to reach as many people speaking live versus like going on social media or on a podcast. However, I think the touch and like the way you impact them is on a much, much deeper level.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
Speaking of conferences, I really want to, let me know your thoughts on this. I'm curious. I'm wanting to start a conference here in San Diego, probably roll it out summer of 2025 and announce it maybe like Q1 of next year, announce it. But I don't know. I've gone to all these real estate conferences all over the country and I'm like, yeah, they're cool. But I'm like, the bar is not really that high. And so I thought, man, like we live in like the coolest city in the country for business conferences. And so I thought, why not have like a really badass, like a wealth conference out here in San Diego, bring all the best speakers out here, do it like in the middle of the summer and have it like on a really cool venue right on the water and have like all these cool networking parties, like on private yachts and all these like venues that we have connections at here in the industry circle here in San Diego, and just bring all the best speakers out here, do like big conference, like 5,000 people, and just make it the premier wealth conference in the country.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. I love it. Yes, definitely San Diego vibes on that one.
The only thing though is these conferences are they're tough to you know, the idea would be to break even, mm-hmm. right? But it's tough just to do that.
Yes.
So that's the one thing. So I'd probably want to like test it out, see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then if it goes well, then obviously, you know, continue to do it. But that man, like San Diego would be a great place to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to a conference down here yet.
But yeah, a lot of these folks that throw the big conferences, a lot of them will take a bath on the money in, money out. So they might take a loss. And I think the goal for most of them is to break even and, you know, but be able to put on like a really good conference, and then you have back-end products and services that you will make money on. But, you know, I think if you don't do it right, you can easily lose, you know, $500,000 throwing a big event.
Yeah. Yeah. But the relationships that you build in something like that are so valuable. I mean, coming into the entrepreneurship space over the last 3-4 years, I've seen how impactful the relationships are just for business collaboration. The more people you meet, you start attracting different people, and opportunities just start multiplying the more people you meet in the space.
Yeah. So for another nurse out there that's maybe interested in real estate investing, you've done it on the active side. Would you say for them to go pursue something actively, or would you say go invest passively into someone else's deal?
I would say passive, just because a lot of healthcare professionals are in the field because they love what they do and they love that piece of work. And so for me, my talking point is always, you know, take your hard-earned income and start putting it to work for you. A lot of them are putting it away in savings accounts, and with inflation, I mean, they're losing money on that. And so, I mean, that's really my goal with Net Worth Nurse, is to just shine education and on these investment strategies like real estate syndications, because they are such an amazing opportunity, especially for healthcare professionals, to get in real estate investing in a very passive way. I mean, a lot of people that I talk to, they see the value in real estate investing. They see how lucrative it can be. They get that it outperforms the stock market year over year, but they just don't know where to start. And the real estate syndications allow them the opportunity to get involved without having to do a lot of the work.
With real estate investing, asset protection and protecting yourself from personal liability is huge. The best way to address this is to correctly set up your LLCs and entity structure. For us at Summers Capital, we use Prime Corporate Services to set up, manage, and provide guidance for all of our entities, making it truly hands-off. If you want to learn more, visit primecorporateservices.com/richsummers to book a free call and receive a special podcast listener offer. Again, visit primecorporateservices.com/richsummers to book a free call. Now back to the show. So there's $37 trillion in retirement accounts in America right now. And, you know, with all these boomers retiring, I just think that's a huge opportunity. And I'm curious, well, I was actually looking up some research. I was doing some research on these retirement accounts, and Fidelity said over the last 5 years, retirement accounts under Fidelity did an average of about 4.6% annualized per year. And so I thought, man, like that's a huge opportunity for, you know, someone to offer them a little bit better of a spread or a better return, you know, even 10%. I had Carlton Dennis on my Boutique Hotel Mastermind call yesterday, and I didn't know this. I always thought that, because we have a lot of investors that invest through a self-directed IRA, they will roll over like an old 401k or a old IRA from like an old employer into a self-directed IRA, and then they'll invest in our fund. I would say about 25% of our investors do that. And to my knowledge, I always thought it had to be with an old employer, not a current employer. But Carlton Dennis yesterday on this call said that about 20% of employers out there allow their current existing employees to roll over to like a self-directed.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's one of like five. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Wild.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. And he also said that you could take a self-directed IRA and invest into your own deal as a GP.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. He drops some pretty good knowledge, but that is a misconception that I hear out there. I hear
definitely.
A lot of different answers with the self-directed IRA stuff from, you know, different CPAs and that sort of thing. But that's what he said. So It's interesting.
And even to your point with Fidelity's numbers, I mean, I think that's what I love about the tech space is there's so much opportunity for disruptors to come in here. I think these large financial institutions like Fidelity and Ameritrade and Vanguard have gotten away with giving those type of returns to their investors for so long.
Totally.
And tech is really going to change that. And the people that are pioneering that and kind of on the front end of it and thinking of opportunities for investors with their best interest. I mean, the opportunity to potentially double their returns. I mean, we were talking about a pref return of 10%. I mean, that's double what they could potentially earn in those retirement accounts. So yeah, huge opportunity there.
A lot of the nurses that you got, that you work with, are they able to roll it into a self-directed IRA?
Yeah, I would say probably 30% of my investors are investing with retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm. And these are like current employers?
No, not current. Okay. The self-directed ones, yeah.
But. So the 401ks that you have at your hospital, mm-hmm. are they able to roll it into a self-directed?
No, they're not. No.
So I was like, man, like, what are the options there? Because we have some folks that hit us up and like, hey, we have a lot of money in a retirement account. We can't roll it into a self-directed IRA, but we really want to invest. I'm like, what are the options? Mm-hmm. We actually had one investor like just cash it out. They said, screw it. I'm going to pay the 10% penalty to the Fed. I'm going to pay the 2.5% penalty to the state of California and whatever income taxes, you know, come from it. And I'm just going to roll the rest with you guys. I was like, okay, if that's what you want to do. But, you know, for the ones that don't want to pay the penalties, they don't want to pay the taxes. I'm like trying to think like of a creative way they could still participate.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally in that situation, it was just like when I started working, I was contributing 15-20% of my income towards my retirement account. And that was something that financial advisors would congratulate me on, you know, you're going to be set by the time you retire. And to me, it just felt so limiting still. And once I discovered real estate investing and the type of returns that you could make in it, and then also the control that you could have over your investments as an investor, I dropped that number. I mean, 3%. Now I'm only contributing, you know, that much toward the retirement accounts and then taking all that extra money and putting it towards real estate investments.
So you're just doing enough to get the match?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you cash yours out?
So I did. I've done a couple different things with retirement accounts. So in 2020, under the CARES Act, when COVID was going on, you could pull penalty free. So I took a big chunk that way. And then I also pulled out on a loan. But the loan for Fidelity, I took it out at 4.5% and then used it and invested in real estate, earning 20-25%. So I'm paying off that loan and still pocketing money every month.
Got it. I remember the CARES Act. So I did a cash out in 2019 with my 401k. I had about 300 something in there. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to pay the 10% penalty to the Fed. I'm going to pay the 2.5% penalty to the state of California. And whatever income taxes are going to come from it, I'm going to take the rest. I'm going to invest into real estate. And I bought two deals. It was an 11-unit building in Cincinnati, which I still own today. And a 32-unit building with Sean and Mike that I partnered with. And we sold that deal a couple of years later. But that said, they allowed me to pull out everything but the match money, the company match. Okay. So whatever the match was over the 11 years that accrued interest, they initially said in 2019, I could not touch that. And that I wouldn't be able to touch until like, I think it was like 62.5. Mm. Well, whose money really is it?
Yeah.
Mine or theirs, right? That's the first thing. But anyhow, so then COVID hit. And I remember the government rolled out with the CARES Act. And that was like, yeah, you could basically deplete the rest of your 401k IRA money. And I was like, give me the rest of the money in. And that was it. And it was off to the races. But I'm so glad I did it looking back. Like, so glad I did it looking back. I mean, that was all the money I had really to my name at that time was this 401k. And I'm glad that I invested into it because it's better than doing nothing. But that was really like the main focus of my net worth. And just, it's crazy how quickly it can compound when you pull it out of there and put it into real assets that you can force appreciation on that produce cash flow. And by the way, have a lot of tax advantages.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, what keeps people from doing that is the lack of education. And I mean, to be quite honest, most people don't want to have that much control over their money. They don't really know what to do with it. And so they'd almost rather sit it in something that is very automated on autopilot in a way. And so the more that you educate yourself in this space, it just opens up so many doors. I mean, it really leads to no ceilings.
Yeah. One of the things that I never understood with the 401k is the first of all, the penalties. It's like a penalty to invest in it in the first place. And then they say, okay, you can't touch it till age 59 and a half. With the ATC thing, you could pull it out a little bit sooner before 59 and a half, but still, that's pretty crazy. Like imagine going into a local bank or a credit union and them telling you like, hey, you can't withdraw your money for 20, 30, 40 years. That's crazy to me. And then to take it a step further, at age 62 and a half, I'm sorry, age 72 and a half, they will start penalizing you for not taking your money out because they want you to take your money out before you die so you can pay the income taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy thing, right?
It's, yeah, a crazy system for sure. I'm excited to see tech disrupt it.
And then if you look at the 401k balance in the average like IRA balance in America, it's very low. Like there's like charts out there that kind of break down by age, like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's not enough. Like the average is not enough to retire off of, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
And so if you think you're going to get Social Security or whatever you're going to live off of, it's tough. And that's why a lot of folks work until they die.
Yeah.
Sadly. Mm-hmm. Sadly. So outside of real estate and the 401k that you're putting 3% into, do you do any other investing?
I've done Forex a little bit. That
What's
was
that?
A little bit Forex training. It was a little bit riskier.
Oh, Forex. F-O-R-E.
Yeah.
X.
Yeah.
What? Okay. So I got to ask you, what the hell is that? I get cookied all the time and spammed on Instagram from these like bots and they're like pushing this Forex stuff. What the hell is
that? It was Forex training. It's like foreign exchange trading. So it's trading against the foreign system. So it's like 24/7 trading. But that was a little bit riskier and lost money there. So I've just gone all in on real estate investing.
Yeah. You mentioned you guys own 6 buildings right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are those all with investors or some of those on your own?
Yeah. No, those are all with investors.
Yeah. You guys have been rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think when I had you on the podcast like 4 years ago, you had just bought the first one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the other ones that you bought.
Yeah, they're all up in the Oregon market, all with the same broker. So just created a really great relationship with him and some of the lenders in the area. Just found really good markets that we're in with strong value add deals. And our investors are a lot of repeat investors. They've been seeing what we're doing. I mean, to date, we've over delivered on all of our projections for investors. We locked in fixed interest rates over the last few years, which has been really helpful. It's been really scary to see kind of what some of the other syndicators have done in this space with the variable interest rate loans mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. Which definitely did look appealing, but we've just always been very conservative with our numbers just because we invest heavily in our deals. We have a lot of friends and family and then healthcare professionals that I work with. And so really the looking for the best interest for our investors.
How big are the other deals that you own?
Yeah, they're all kind of that mid-size range. So 12, 18, 24, 36,
whoa,
28. Uh-huh.
Damn.
Yeah.
Those are like even numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That's exciting. So what are you guys working on the rest of this year? I know you're married. And does your husband do like the majority of the real estate stuff? Or
early on, we kind of went through the whole process together, went through a formal coaching program, spent $30,000 on it, more than my master's degree. But for us, we were all in on real estate investing and knew we were going to make this a big part of our life. And so invested heavily in that coaching program. And so
we did the Michael Blanc, right?
We did. Yeah.
I got a little memory.
And we went through like that first deal together side by side. We were on all the financing calls together, investor calls, legal calls, all that, broker calls. And then after that first deal, we've split up the business. So my husband does all the acquisitions and asset management. So he's out finding the deals, getting the financing for the deals. He has relationships with brokers and gets the deal flow. And then ends up managing the asset throughout the lifetime of the investment, which is helpful because he gets to see how good his underwriting was from the start, right? And I do a lot more of the investor relations and marketing. So talking to a lot of our investors, the communications, all the social media stuff.
Okay. I love that. So you're raising the money too. And you're the one going on podcasts and doing the social media.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Events and conferences and that type of stuff. But I mean, for us, even like the whole reason we started investing was more time freedom with our daughters. We have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. So we've really achieved that over the last 3-4 years. And so we live a lifestyle that was just everything we dreamed of. I mean, we have a beautiful home in the Santa Rosa mountainside and just have a lot more free time. We get to go to a movie in the middle of the week if we want, or, you know, walks in the afternoon. And just, I went on 3 field trips with my daughter's kindergarten class and didn't have to ask permission from anyone to do that, you know. And so really, that was the whole goal for us to start investing in real estate. So although I do want to grind, and I very much have that entrepreneur mindset and obviously building the startup, but there are a lot more times now that we do take a, you know, we soak it all in. I mean, everything that we've worked so hard for, because I mean, while we were grinding over those 3 years, I mean, we was working a 40, 50 hour week job and then coming home doing dinner, bath time, bedtime with the kids, and then working every night for another 4 or 5 hours. And so almost felt like 2 full-time jobs for a few years. And so now being able to see how much freedom it's created in our lives, it's just stopping and soaking it in.
Yeah. I love that you said 5 to 9 at night.
Yeah.
I saw something the other day. It said the 9 to 5 pays the bills. The 5 to 9 builds your future.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's
so true. A lot of people don't want to sacrifice the Netflix and the happy hours and the dinners and all that type of stuff. But for us, we started learning about real estate investing, we were just like, this is it. I mean, this is our ticket out of the rat race. And the more we started educating ourselves and taking action and working towards it, I mean, it's just paid off tremendously.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, I can tell. I mean, it's just in 4 years, you guys bought all these multifamily deals and went full cycle on one of them. You own another, 6 total?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you've raised all that money. You guys took action and, you know, working day job and you have kids. And so for the folks out there that, you know, think that they don't have the time, you know, it's not that you don't have the time. It's just not a priority. And if you prioritize certain things and you want it bad enough, you will find the time. And so you guys definitely did it. Rocked it, and it's amazing to see. It's definitely inspiring to see, and excited to see where you guys go next. So curious, will you leave the you said you're working 2 days a week?
Yeah.
Will you cut that off eventually?
Yeah, eventually, probably in this next 6 to 12 months for sure.
What are you waiting for?
For me, a little bit more traction with the startup for sure.
Okay.
A few more clients under the belt. But for me, I mean, especially as I am building the startup, it's nice to still have a pulse on the healthcare system. Every time I go into work, I hear nurses and docs complain about their finances and money. And for me, that's just surveys as I'm out building this product and this business, more information to deal with as I go out there and create this. So,
yeah, when I left, I didn't realize how much more time I would have to like allocate to all this stuff. But, when I left, it was like, I had so much more time to like really rock into this whole thing. And I started to see a lot more growth, and I'm sure you've seen that already, just kind of cutting back your schedule, but it was a game changer for me when I left.
Yeah, no, so. Absolutely.
Well, anyways, hey, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. We're going to be hanging out at the meetup tonight. You're staying at our hotel, Hotel Zendel.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Well. So excited for that. Where can listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, social media is my favorite place to hang out. So you can find me under Net Worth Nurse under all social media handles. So Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, even TikTok. I got a website, networthnurse.co, and I have tons of resources on there, really geared towards healthcare professionals, different blogs and downloads, different information about real estate syndications and the type of deals we do. So published a new book, too, Passive Profits, How Healthcare Professionals Can Passively Invest in Real Estate and Retire Early. And that's available on my website as well.
There it is. Making it happen. We'll keep crushing, keep inspiring all those nurses. And I'm excited to see where you go next. She's Savannah Arroyo. I'm Rich Summers. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.